His friends were dying while he played games with this woman. What is a lie?
We be a lie. She thumped her crutch again. You be the one who thought to offer supplies. You be the one who decided to bring them. Not you and Kaelin. You, we be a lie. I be the truth.
Richard unfolded his arms, holding them out to his sides. What difference does that make? I, we, what does it matter? She stared at him.
One be true, one be a lie. How much more difference could there be?
Richard folded his arms across his chest again, frowning. Chase must have a very difficult time telling you the stories of his adventures. Addie's small smile came back.
True,
she nodded. She leaned a little closer, motioning with her hand.
Bring your friends inside.
She turned, put the crutch back under her arm, and worked her way to the house. Richard and Kaelin looked at each other, and then went to get Chase, putting the blankets away first. He had Kaelin take the boundary warden's feet. He took the heavy half. As soon as they lugged Chase through the door, Richard discovered why she was called the Bone Woman. Bones of every kind stood out in stark relief against the dark walls. Every wall was covered. Against one were shelves that held skulls. Skulls of beasts Richard didn't recognize. Most were fearsome-looking, with long, curved teeth. At least none were human, he thought. Some of the bones were assembled into necklaces. Some were decorated into objects of purpose with feathers and colored beads, chalk circles drawn around them on the surface of the wall. There were stacks of bones in the corner looking unimportant en masse. The ones on the wall were displayed carefully, with space around them to signify their importance. On the mantel over the fireplace was a rib bone as thick as Richard's arm, as long as he was tall, with symbols he didn't recognize carved in dark lines along its length. There were so many bleached bones around him that Richard felt as if he were in the belly of a dead beast. They set Chase down while Richard's head swiveled around, looking. Rainwater dripped off Kaelin, Chase, and himself. Addie towered over him. She was as dry as the bones around her. She had stood outside in the rain, yet she was dry. Richard reconsidered the wisdom of his decision to come here. If Chase hadn't told him Addie was his friend, he would not be doing this. He looked to Kaelin.
I'll go get Zed. It was more of a question than a statement.
I will help carry in the supplies, she offered, casting a glance at Addie. Richard gently laid Zed at the bone woman's feet. Together he and Kaelin stacked the supplies on the table. When they had finished, both went and stood next to their friends in front of Addie, both peering at the bones. Addie watched them.
Who be this one?
She asked, pointing at Zed.
Zedeka Zul Zorander, my friend, he said.
Wizard!
Addie snapped.
My friend! Richard yelled, his anger unhinged.
Addie calmly looked at him with her white eyes while he glared back. Zed was going to die if he didn't get help, and Richard was in no mood to allow that to happen. Addie leaned forward, placing her wrinkled hand flat against his stomach. A little surprised, he stood still while she rubbed her hand in a slow circle, as if seeking to discern something. She took her hand back, carefully folding it over the other on the crutch. Her thin lips pulled to the sides in a slight smile as she looked up.
The righteous rage of a true seeker. Good.
She looked over to Kaelin.
You have nothing to fear from him, child. It be the anger of truth. It be the anger of the teeth. The good need not fear it.
With the aid of her crutch, she took a few steps to Kaelin. Addie placed her hand on Kaelin's stomach and repeated the procedure. When she was finished, she laid her hand over the crutch and nodded. She looked to Richard.
She has the fire. The anger burns in her, too. But it be the anger of the tongue. You have to fear it. All have to fear it. It be dangerous if she ever lets it out."
Richard gave Addie a leery look. "I dislike riddles. They leave too much room for misinterpretation. If you want to tell me something, then tell me."
"Tell me,"
she mocked. Her eyes narrowed.
"What be stronger, teeth or tongue?"
Richard took a deep breath. "The answer is obviously teeth. Therefore, I choose tongue." Addie gave him a disapproving scowl.
"Sometimes your tongue moves when it shouldn't. Make it be still,"
she commanded in a dry rasp. Somewhat embarrassed, Richard kept quiet. Addie smiled and gave a nod.
"See?"
Richard frowned. "No."
"The anger of teeth be force by contact, violence by touch, combat. The magic of the sword of truth be the magic of the anger of teeth, ripping, tearing. The anger of the tongue need not touch, but it be force just the same. It cuts just as quick."
"I'm not sure what you mean," Richard said. Addie reached out, her long finger stretching to him and lightly touching his shoulder. His head was suddenly filled with a vision that was a memory of the night before. He saw the men at the inn. He was standing in front of them with Kaelin, and the men were ready to attack. He was grasping the sword of truth, ready for the violence necessary to stop them, knowing that nothing short of blood would suffice. Then he saw Kaelin next to him, talking to the mob, stopping them, holding them with her words, running her tongue across her lip, giving meaning without speaking. She was taking the fire from them, disarming the depraved without touching them, doing what the sword could not. He began to understand what Addie meant. Kaelin's hand swept up sharply and snatched Addie's wrist, pulling the hand away from Richard. There was a dangerous look in her eyes, one that wasn't lost on Addie. "I am sworn to protect the life of the Seeker. I do not know what you are doing. You will forgive me if I overreact. I mean no disrespect, but I could not forgive myself if I failed in my task. There is much at risk." Addie looked down at the hand around her wrist.
"I understand, child. Forgive me for thoughtlessly giving you cause for alarm."
Kaelin held the wrist a moment longer to make her point, then released it. Addie laid the hand over her other on the top of the crutch. She looked back to Richard.
"Teeth and tongue work together. Same with the magic. You command the magic of the sword, the magic of the teeth. But that gives you magic of the tongue also. The magic of the tongue works because you back it with the sword."
She turned her head slowly to Kaelin.
"You have both, child, teeth and tongue. You use them together, one backing the other."
"And what is a wizard's magic?" Richard asked. Addie looked at him, considering the question.
"There be many kinds of magic. Teeth and tongue be only two. Wizards know them all, save those of the underworld. Wizards use most of what they know."
She looked down at Zed.
"He be a very dangerous man."
"He has never shown me anything but kindness and understanding. He is a gentleman."
"True. But he also be a dangerous one," Addie repeated.
Richard let it drop. "And Darkon Rall, do you know of him? What kind he can use?" Addie's eyes narrowed.
"Oh, yes," she hissed. "I know of him. He can use all the magic a wizard does, and the magic a wizard cannot. Darkon Rall can use the underworld."
Icy bumps rippled up Richard's arms. He wanted to ask what kind of magic Addie had, but decided better of it. She turned once more to Kaelin.
"Be warned, child, you have the true power of the tongue. You have never seen it. It will be a terrible doing if you ever let it loose.
I don't know what you are talking about, Kaelin said, her eyebrows in a frown.
True, Addy nodded. True.
She reached out and gently placed her hand on Kaelin's shoulder, working her fingers, bringing her closer.
Your mother died before you became a woman, before you were of age when she could teach you of it.
Kaelin swallowed hard. What can you teach me of it?
Nothing. I am sorry, but I have no understanding of its workings. It be something only your mother can teach when you reach the age of woman. Since your mother did not show you, the teaching be lost, but the power be still there. Be warned. Just because you were not taught its use does not mean it cannot come out.
Did you know my mother? Kaelin asked in a painful whisper. Addie's face softened as she looked at Kaelin. She nodded slowly.
I remember your family name, and I remember her green eyes. They not be easy to forget. You have her eyes. When she carried you, I knew her.
A tear rolled down Kaelin's cheek, and her voice came in the same painful whisper. My mother wore a necklace with a small bone on it. She gave it to me when I was a child. I wore it always until Denise, the girl I called my sister, when she died I buried it with her. She had always been fond of it. You gave that necklace to my mother, didn't you? Addie closed her eyes and nodded.
Yes, child. I gave it to her to protect her unborn daughter, to keep her child safe, that she might grow to be strong like her mother. I can see that she has.
Kaelin slipped her arms around the old woman. Thank you, Addie, she said tearfully, for helping my mother. Addie held the crutch with one hand, and with the other rubbed Kaelin's back in genuine sympathy. After a few moments, Kaelin separated from the old woman and wiped the tears from her eyes. Richard saw his opening and went for it with single-minded determination. Addie, he said in a soft voice, you helped Kaelin before she was born. Help her now. Her life and the lives of a great many others are at stake. Darken Rawl hunts her, hunts me. We need the help of these two men. Please help them. Help Kaelin. Addie gave him her small smile. She nodded her head a little to herself.
The wizard chooses his seekers well. Fortunately for you, patience be not a prerequisite for the post. Be at ease. I would not have had you bring them in if I did not intend to help them.
Well, perhaps you cannot see, he pressed, but Zed especially is in bad shape. His breathing is hardly there at all. Addie's white eyes regarded him with strained tolerance.
Tell me, she said in her dry rasp, do you know Kaelin's secret, the one she keeps from you?
Richard said nothing, and tried to show no emotion. Addie turned to Kaelin.
Tell me, child, do you know the secret he keeps from you?
Kaelin said nothing. Addie looked back to Richard.
Does the wizard know of the secret you keep from him?
No.
Do you know the secret the wizard keeps from you?
No.
Three blind people. Seems I be able to see better than you.
Richard wondered what secret Zed was keeping from him. He lifted an eyebrow.
And which of these secrets do you know, Addie?
She pointed a thin finger at Kaelin.
Hers only.
Richard was relieved, but tried to let his face show nothing. He had been on the verge of panic. Everyone has secrets, my friend, and has a right to keep them when there is need. Her smile widened.
That be true, Richard Cipher.
Now, what about these two?
Do you know how to heal them? She asked.
No, if I did, I obviously would have already done so.
Your impatience is to be forgiven. It be only right for you to fear for the lives of your friends. I bear you no ill will for your concern. But be at ease. They have been receiving help from the moment you brought them in.
Richard gave her a confused look.
Really?
She nodded.
They be struck down by underworld beasts. It will take time for them to wake, days, how many I cannot say. But they be dry. Lack of water will be the death of them. Therefore they must be brought awake enough to drink, or they will die. The wizard breathes slow, not because he be worse, but because that be the way wizards save strength in time of trouble. They go into a deeper sleep. I must bring them both awake to drink. You will not be able to talk to them. They will not know you, so be not afraid when you see it. Go to the corner. Bring the water bucket.
Richard retrieved the water and then helped Addie lower herself to sit cross-legged at the heads of Zed and Chase. She pulled Kaelin down next to her. She asked Richard to bring a bone implement from the shelf. Part of it looked very much like a human thigh bone. The entire object had a dark brown patina and looked to be ancient. Down the shaft of the bone were carved symbols Richard didn't recognize. At one end were two skull tops, one to each side of the ball. They had been cut smoothly into half spheres and covered with dried skin of some kind. In the center of each skin was a knot that looked like a navel. Spaced evenly around each skin, where it stretched across the skull edge, were tufts of coarse black hair tied on with beaded thread that matched that around the neck of Addie's robe. The skull tops looked like they could be human. Something inside rattled. Richard handed it respectfully to Addie. "What makes the rattle?" Without looking up, she said,
"Dried eyes."
Addie shook the bone rattle gently from side to side over the heads of Zed and Chase while mumbling a chant in the strange language in which he had spoken to Kaelin. The rattle made a hollow, wooden sound. Kaelin sat cross-legged next to her, head bowed. Richard stood back and watched. After 10 or 15 minutes, Addie motioned with her hand for him to come closer. Zed suddenly sat up and opened his eyes. Richard realized she wanted him to give him water. She continued to chant as he dipped the ladle in and held it up to Zed's mouth. He drank thirstily. Richard was thrilled to see the old man sit up and open his eyes, even if he couldn't talk, even if he didn't know where he was. Zed drank half a bucket of water. When finished, he lay back down and closed his eyes. Chase was next, and he drank the other half of the water. Addie handed Richard the bone rattle and asked him to return it to the shelf. Next, she had him bring the bone pile from the corner and stack half over Zed's body, half over Chase's, directing him on how to place each bone, to some alignment that only she could see or understand. Finally, she had him stack rib bones in a wagon wheel pattern with the hub centered over each man's chest. When he finished, she complimented him on doing a fine job, but he felt no pride, because she had directed his hand at each turn. Addie looked up at him with her white eyes.
"Can you cook?"
Richard thought about the time Kaelin had told him that his spice soup was like hers, and that their two lands were much the same. Addie was from the Midlands. Maybe she would like something from her homeland. He smiled at her. "I would be honored to make you some spice soup." She put her hands together in a swoon.
"That would be wonderful. I have not had a proper spice soup in years."
Richard went to the opposite corner of the room and sat at the table, cutting up vegetables and mixing spices. For over an hour, as he worked, he watched the two women sitting on the floor, talking in a strange language. Two women catching up on the news from home, he thought happily. He was in a good mood. Someone was finally doing something to help Zed and Chase. Someone who knew what the problem was. When he was finished and had the soup on the fire, he didn't want to disturb them. They looked like they were enjoying themselves. So he asked Addie if he could cut some firewood for her. She seemed pleased by the idea. He went outside and removed the tooth from around his neck, putting it in his pocket, and left his shirt on the porch to keep it dry. He took the sword with him to the back of the house, where Addie had told him he would find the firewood pile. Placing logs on the sawbuck, he cut off pieces to length. Most of the wood was birch, easiest for an old woman to cut. He picked out the rock maple, excellent firewood, but tough cutting. The woods nearby were dark and dense, but they didn't feel threatening. They felt welcoming, enveloping, safe. Still, there was the last man of the quad out there somewhere, hunting Kalin. He thought about Michael, hoped he was safe. Michael didn't know what Richard was doing, and probably wondered where he was. He was probably worried. Richard had planned on going to Michael's house after they left Zed's place, but there had been no time. Rawl had almost caught them. He wished he had been able to get word to his brother. Michael was going to be in great danger when the boundary failed. When he tired of sawing, he split what he had cut. It felt good to use his muscles, to sweat from labor, to do something that didn't require him to think. The cool rain felt good on his hot body, making the work easier. To amuse himself, he imagined the wood was Darkenrall's head as he brought the axe down. For variation, he sometimes imagined it to be a gar. When the piece of wood was particularly tough, he imagined it to be the red-haired man's head. Kalin came out and asked him if he was ready to come eat. He hadn't even realized it was getting dark. After she left, he went to the well and poured a bucket of cold water over himself, washing off the sweat. Kalin and Addie were sitting at the table, and since there were only two chairs, he brought in a log round to sit on. Kalin set a bowl of soup in front of him as he sat down and handed him a spoon.
"You have given me a wonderful gift, Richard," Addie said.
"And what would that be?" He blew on a spoonful of soup to cool it. She looked at him with her white eyes.
"Without taking offense, you have given me the time to talk to Kalin in my native tongue. You cannot know what joy that be for me. So many years it has been. You are a very perceptive man. You are a true seeker."
Richard beamed at her. "You have given me something very precious, too. The lives of my friends. Thank you, Addie."
"And your spice soup be wonderful," she added,
with a hint of surprise.
"Yes,"
Kalin winked at him. "It's as good as I make."
"Kalin has told me about Darkenrall, and about the boundary failing," Addie said. "It explains much. She has told me that you know of the pass, and wish to cross into the Midlands. Now you must decide what you will do."
She took a spoonful of soup. "What do you mean?"
"They must be awakened every day to drink, and they must be fed a gruel. Your friends be asleep for many days, 5, maybe 10. You must decide as seeker if you are to wait for them or go on. We cannot help you. You must decide."
"That would be a lot of work for you to do by yourself." Addie nodded.
"Yes, but it'd not be as much work as going after the boxes, as stopping Darkenrall."
She ate some more soup as she watched him. Richard stirred his spoon around absently in his bowl. There was a long silence. He looked to Kalin, but she showed nothing. He knew she didn't want to interfere with his decision. He looked back down at his soup. "Every day that passes," he said quietly at last, "brings Rawl closer to the last box. Zed told me he has a plan. That does not mean it is a good plan, and there may not be time to use it when he awakes at last. We could lose before we start." He looked up into Kalin's green eyes. "We can't wait. We can't take the chance. Too much is at risk. We must leave without him." Kalin gave him a smile of reassurance. I wasn't planning on letting Chase go with us anyway. I have a more important job for him. Addie reached across the table and put her weathered hand on his. It felt soft and warm.
It'd not be an easy choice to make. It'd not be easy to be Seeker. That which lies ahead be difficult beyond your worst fears.
He forced a smile. At least I still have my guide. The three of them sat in silence, considering what must be done.
You both will have a good sleep tonight, Addie said. You will need it. After supper, I will tell you what you will need to know to get through the pass.
She looked to each of them in turn. Her voice became even raspier.
And I will tell you how I lost my foot.
Chapter 17. Richard placed the lamp on the side of the table, close to the wall, and lit it with a stick from the fire. The sound of gentle rain and night creatures drifted in from the window. The chirps and calls of small animals going about their nocturnal lives were familiar to him, comforting sounds of home. Home. His last night in his homeland, and then he was to cross into the Midlands, as his father had done. He smiled to himself at the irony. His father had brought the Book of Counted Shadows out of the Midlands, and now he was taking it back. He sat down on the log round, across from Kalin and Addie. So, tell me, how do we find the pass? Addie leaned back in her chair and swept her hand through the air.
You already have. You'll be in the pass. The mouth of it, anyway.
And what do we need to know to get through it?
The pass be a void in the underworld, but it still be a land of the dead. You be living. The beasts hunt the living if the living be big enough to be of interest.
Richard looked at Kalin's impassive face, then back to Addie. What beasts?
Addie's long finger pointed to each wall of the room in turn.
They be the bones of the beasts. Your friends were touched by things of the underworld. The bones confuse their powers. That be why I said your friends were being helped from the moment you brought them in here. The bones cause the magic poison to leave their bodies, letting the death sleep lift. The bones keep the evil away from here. The beasts cannot find me because they feel the evil of the bones and it blinds them. Makes them think I be one of them.
Richard leaned forward. If we took some of the bones with us, would that protect us?
Addie smiled her little smile, making her eyes wrinkle.
Very good. That be exactly what you must do. These bones of the dead have the magic to help protect you. But there be more. Listen carefully to what I tell you.
Richard folded his fingers together and nodded.
You cannot take your horses. The trail be too small for them. There be places they cannot fit. You must not wander from the trail. It be very dangerous to do so. And you must not stop to sleep. It will take one day, one night, and most of the next day to cross.
Why can't we stop to sleep? Richard asked.
Addie looked to each of them with her white eyes.
There be other things. Besides the beasts in the pass, they will get you if you stop long enough.
Things? Kalin asked. Addie nodded.
I go into the pass often. If you are careful, it be safe enough. If you are not careful, there be things that will get you.
A raspy voice lowered bitterly.
I became overconfident. One day I was walking a long time. And became very tired. I was sure of myself, sure I knew the dangers well, so I sat against a tree and took a small nap, for a few minutes only.
She put her hand on her leg, rubbing it slowly.
When I was asleep, a gripper fixed itself on my ankle.
Kalin scrunched up her features. What's a gripper?
Addie regarded her in silence for a minute.
A gripper be an animal that has armor all over his back, spikes all around the bottom edge, many legs underneath, each with a sharp, hooked claw at the end, a mouth like a leech with teeth all around. He wraps himself around, so only his armor is out. With his claws he digs into the flesh to hold tight so you cannot pull him off, and then he fixes his mouth to you, sucking the blood from you, tightening with the claws all the time.
Kaylin put her hand reassuringly on Addie's arm. The light from the lamp made the old woman's white eyes a pale shade of orange. Richard didn't move, his muscles tense.
I had my axe with me.
Kaylin closed her eyes as her head lowered. Addie went on.
I tried to kill the gripper, or at least get him off me. I knew that if I did not, he would suck all the lifeblood from me. His armor be harder than the axe. I was very angry with myself. The gripper be one of the slowest creatures in the pass, but he be faster than a sleeping fool.
She looked into Richard's eyes.
There be only one thing I could do to save my life. I could stand the pain no longer. His teeth were scraping into the bone. I tied a strip of cloth tight around my thigh and laid my lower leg across a log. I used the axe to chop off my foot and ankle.
The silence in the small house was brittle. Only Richard's eyes moved to meet Kaylin's. He saw sorrow there for the old woman, saw his own sorrow reflected. He couldn't imagine the resolve it would take to use an axe to cut off your own foot. His stomach felt sick. Addie's thin lips spread in a grim smile. With one hand she reached across the table to take Richard's hand, and with the other hand took Kaylin's. She held their hands in a firm grip.
I tell you this story not to have you feel sorry for me. I tell you only so you too will not become prey to something in the past. Confidence can be a dangerous thing. Fear can keep you safe, sometimes.
Then I think we shall be very safe, Richard said. Addie continued to smile and gave a single nod.
Good. There be one more thing. There be a place halfway through the pass, where the two walls of a boundary come very close together, almost touching. It be called the Narrows. When you come to a rock the size of this house, split down the middle, that be the place. You must pass through the rock. Do not go around it, even though you may want to. Death be that way. And then beyond you must pass between the walls of the boundary. It be the most dangerous place in the pass.
She put a hand on Kaylin's shoulder and squeezed Richard's hand tighter, looking to each in turn.
They will call to you from the boundary. They will want you to come to them.
Who? Kaylin asked. Addie leaned closer to her.
The dead. It could be anyone you know who be dead. Your mother.
Kaylin bit her bottom lip. Is it really then? Addie shook her head.
I don't know, child, but I do not believe it to be.
I don't think so either, Richard said, almost more to reassure himself.
Good,
Addie rasped.
Keep thinking so. It will help you resist. You will be tempted to go to them. If you do, you are lost. And remember, in the Narrows it be even more important to keep on the path the whole way through. A step or two off to either side and you have gone too far. The walls of the boundary be that close. You will not be able to step back. Ever.
Richard let out a deep breath. Addie, the boundary is failing. Before he was struck down, Zed told me he could see the change. Chase said you couldn't see into it before, and that now underworld beings were getting out. Do you think it will still be safe to go through the Narrows?
Safe? I never said it be safe. It never be safe to go through the Narrows. Many who were keen with greed, but not strong of will, have tried to go through and never come out the other side.
She leaned closer to him.
As long as the boundary be there still, So too must be the pass. Stay on the trail. Keep in mind your purpose. Help each other if need be, and you will get across.
Addy studied his face. Richard turned to Kalin's green eyes. He wondered if Kalin and he could resist the boundary. He remembered what it felt like to want to go into it, to long for it. In the Narrows, it would be on both sides of them. He knew how frightened Kalin was of the underworld, with good reason. She had been in it. He wasn't anxious to go anywhere near it himself. Richard frowned in thought. You said the Narrows were in the center of the pass. Won't it be night? How will we see to stay on the trail? Addy put her hand on Kalin's shoulder to help herself up.
Come,
she said as she put the crutch under her arm. They followed slowly behind as she worked her way to the shelves. Her slender fingers clutched a leather pouch. She loosened the drawstring and dumped something in her palm. She turned to Richard.
Hold out your hand.
He held his hand palm up in front of her. She put her hand over his, and he felt a smooth weight. In her native tongue, she spoke a few words under her breath.
The words say I give you this of my own free will.
Richard saw that in his palm rested a rock about the size of a grouse egg. Smooth and polished, it was so dark it seemed as if it could suck the light from the room. He couldn't even discern a surface other than a layer of gloss. Beneath that was a void of blackness.
This be a night stone, she said in a measured rasp.
And what do I do with it?
Addy hesitated, her gaze darting briefly to the window.
When it be dark, and you have need enough, take out the night stone and it will give off light so you may find your way. It only works for its owner, and then only if it be given of its last owner's free will. I will tell the wizard you have it. He has magic to find it, so he will be able to find you.
Richard hesitated. Addy, this must be valuable. I don't feel right accepting it.
Everything is valuable under the right conditions. To a man dying of thirst, water be more precious than gold. To a drowning man, water be of little worth and great trouble. Right now you be a very thirsty man. I thirst for Darkenrall to be stopped. Take the nightstone. If you feel the weight of obligation, you may return it to me one day.
Richard nodded, slipped the stone into the leather pouch and then into his pocket. Addy turned to the shelf once more and retrieved a delicate necklace, holding it up for Kalin to see. A few red and yellow beads were to each side of a small round bone. Kalin's eyes brightened, her mouth opened in surprise. It is just like my mother's, she said with delight. Addy placed it over her head while Kalin lifted clear her mass of dark hair. Kalin looked down at the necklace, touching it between her finger and thumb, smiling.
For now it will hide you from the beasts in the pass, and some day, when you carry a child of your own, it will protect her and help her to grow strong like you.
Kalin put her arms around the old woman, hugging her tight for a long time. When they separated, Kalin's face bore a distressed expression, and she spoke in the language Richard didn't understand. Addy simply smiled and patted her shoulder sympathetically.
You too should sleep now.
What about me? Shouldn't I have a bone to hide me from the beasts?
Addy studied his face, then looked down at his chest. Slowly she reached out. Her fingers uncurled and touched his shirt tentatively, touched the tooth underneath. She pulled her hand back and looked back up into his eyes. Somehow she knew about the tooth being there. Richard held his breath.
You need no bone, Heartlander. The beasts cannot see you.
His father had told him the thing guarding the book had been an evil beast. He realized the tooth was the reason the things from the boundary hadn't been able to find him, as they had the others. If it hadn't been for the tooth, he would have been struck down as Zed and Chase were, and Kalin would be in the underworld now. Richard tried to keep his face from betraying any emotion. Addie seemed to get the hint and remained silent. Kaelin seemed confused, but didn't ask.
"Sleep now," Addie said.
Kaelin refused Addie's offer of her bed. She and Richard laid their bedrolls near the fire, and Addie retired to her room. Richard put a few more logs in the fire, remembering how Kaelin liked to be by a fire. He sat by Zed and Chase for a few minutes, smoothing the old man's white hair, listening to his even breathing. He hated to leave his friends behind. He was afraid of what was ahead. He wondered if Zed had an idea of where to look for one of the boxes. Richard wished he knew what Zed's plan was. Maybe it was some sort of wizard's trick to try on Dark and Rawl. Kaelin sat on the floor by the fire with her legs crossed, watching him. When he came back to his blanket, she lay down on her back, pulling the blanket up to her waist. The house was quiet and felt safe. Rain continued to fall outside. It felt good being by the fire. He was tired. Richard turned toward Kaelin, his elbow on the floor and his head propped in his hand. She stared up at the ceiling, turning the bone on the necklace between her finger and thumb. He watched her breast rise and fall with her breathing. "Richard," she whispered while continuing to stare at the ceiling, "I'm sorry we have to leave them behind."
"I know," he whispered back.
"Me too. I hope you do not feel I forced you to do it, because of what I said when we were in the swamp." "No, it was the right decision. Every day brings winter closer. It will do us no good to wait with them, while Rawl gets the boxes. Then we will all be dead. The truth is the truth. I can't be angry at you for saying it." He listened to the fire snap and hiss as he watched her face, the way her hair lay across the floor. He could see a vein in her neck pulsing with her heartbeat. He thought that she had the most delicious-looking neck he had ever seen. Sometimes she looked so beautiful, he could hardly stand to look at her, and at the same time could not look away. She still held the necklace in her fingers. "Kaelin," she turned to his eyes, "when Addie told you the necklace would protect you and someday your child, what did you say to her?" She gazed at him a long moment. "I thanked her, but I told her I did not think I would live long enough to have a child." Richard felt bumps rise on the skin of his arms. "Why would you say that?" Her eyes moved in little flicks as she studied different places on his face. "Richard," she said quietly, "madness is loose in my homeland. Madness you cannot imagine. I am but one. They are many. I have seen people better than me go against it and be slaughtered. I am not saying I think we will fail, but I do not think I will live to know." Even if she wasn't saying it, Richard knew she didn't think he would live either. She was trying not to frighten him, but she thought he would die in the effort, too. That was why she hadn't wanted Zed to give him the sword of truth, to make him seek her. He felt as if his heart were coming up into his throat. She believed she was leading them to their death. Maybe she was right, he mused. After all, she knew more about what they were up against than he did. She must be terrified to go back to the Midlands, but then there was no place to hide. The Night Wisp had said that to run was a sure death. Richard kissed the end of his finger and then touched it against the bone on the necklace. He looked back up into her soft eyes. "I add my oath of protection to the bone," he said in a whisper. "To you now, and to any child you may bear in the future. I would trade no day I spend with you for a life of safe slavery. I accepted the post of seeker of my own free will, and if Dark and Rawl takes the whole world into madness, then we will die with a sword in our hands, not chains on our wings. We will not allow it to be easy for them to kill us. They will pay a high price. We will fight with our last breath if need be, and in our death let us inflict a wound on him that will fester until it claims him." A smile spread across her face, until her eyes were caught up in it. "If Dark and Rawl knew you as I do, he would have reason to lose sleep. I thank the good spirits the seeker has no cause to come after me in anger. She laid her head down on her arm. You have an odd talent for making me feel better, Richard Cipher. Even when telling me of my death. He smiled. That's what friends are for. Richard watched her for a while after she closed her eyes, until sleep gently took him. His last thoughts before it came were of her. The first hint of morning was damp and dreary, but the rain had stopped. Kaelin had given Addy a parting hug. Richard faced the old woman, looking into her white eyes. I must ask you to do an important task. You must give Chase a message from the Seeker. Tell him he is to go back to Heartland and warn the First Counselor that the boundary will be down soon. Have him tell Michael to gather the army to protect Westland from Rawl's forces. They must be prepared to fight at any invasion. They must not let Westland fall as did the Midlands. Any forces that come across must be deemed invaders. Have him tell Michael that Rawl is the one who killed our father, and those who come do not come in peace. We are at war, and I am already joined in battle. If my brother or the army fails to heed my warning, then Chase is to abandon the service of the government and gather the boundary wardens to stand against Rawl's legions. His army was virtually unopposed when they took the Midlands. If they have to shed blood freely to take Westland, maybe they will lose their spirit. Tell him to show no mercy to the enemy. Take no prisoners. I take no joy in giving these orders, but it's the way Rawl fights, and either we meet him on his terms or we die on them. If Westland is taken, I expect the wardens to extract a terrible price before they fall. After Chase has the army and wardens in place, he is free to come to my aid if he chooses to do so. As above all else, we must stop Rawl from getting all three boxes. Richard looked down at the ground. Have him tell my brother that I love him and I miss him. He looked up and gauged Addie's expression. Can you remember all that?
I do not think I could forget it if I wanted to. I will tell the warden your words. What would you have me tell the wizard?
Richard smiled. That I'm sorry we couldn't wait for him, but I know he will understand. When he is able, he will find us by the Nightstone. I hope by then to have found one of the boxes.
Strength to the Seeker,
Addy said in a rasp.
And you too, child. Grim times lie ahead.
Chapter 18. The trail was wide enough to allow Richard and Kaelin to walk side by side after they left Addy's place. Clouds hung thick and threatening, but the rain held off. Both wrapped their cloaks tight. Damp brown pine needles matted the path through the forest. There was little brush among the big trees, allowing an open view for a good distance. Ferns covered the ground in feathery swathes through the trees, and dead wood lay in it here and there as if asleep in a bed. Squirrels scolded the two of them as they hiked along, while birds sang with monotonous conviction. Richard picked at the branch of a small balsam fir as they walked past, stripping the needles between his thumb and the crook of his first finger. "Addie is more than she seems," he said at last. Kaelin looked up at him as they walked. "She is a sorceress." Richard glanced sideways at her in surprise. "Really? I don't know exactly what a sorceress is." "Well, she is more than us, but less than a wizard." Richard smelled the aromatic fragrance of the balsam needles, then cast them aside. Maybe she was more than he, Richard thought, but he wasn't at all sure she was more than Kaelin. He remembered the look on Addie's face when Kaelin had grabbed her by the wrist. It had been a look of fear. He remembered the look on Zed's face when he had first seen her. What power did she have that could frighten a sorceress and a wizard? What had she done that had caused thunder without sound? She had done it twice that he knew of, once with the Quad, and once with Char, the Night Wisp. Richard remembered the pain that had followed. A sorceress greater than Kaelin? He wondered.
What's Addie doing living here in the pass? Kaylin pushed some of her hair back over her shoulder. She became tired of people coming to her all the time, wanting spells and potions. She wanted to be left alone to study whatever it is a sorceress studies. Some sort of higher summons, as she called it. You think she will be safe when the boundary fails? I hope so. I like her. Me too, he added with a smile. The trail, climbing sharply in places, forced them to go single file at times as it twisted along steep, rocky hillsides and over ridges. Richard let Kaylin go first, so he could keep an eye on her, make sure she didn't wander off the path. At times he had to point out the trail, his experience as a guide making it plain to him, but not to her unpracticed eye. Other times the trail was a well-defined rut. The woods were thick. Trees grew from splits in the rock that pushed up above the leaf litter. Mist drifted among the trees. Roots bulging from cracks provided handholds as they climbed the abrupt inclines. His legs ached from the effort of descending extreme drops in the dark trail. Richard wondered what they were going to do once they reached the Midlands. He had depended on Zed to let him know the plan once they crossed the pass, and now they were without Zed, without a plan. He felt kind of foolish to be charging into the Midlands. What was he going to do once they crossed over? Stand there and look around, divine where the box was, and then be off after it? Didn't sound like a good plan to him. They didn't have time to wander about aimlessly, hoping they would come across something. No one was going to be waiting for him, waiting to tell him where to go next. They reached a steep jumble of rock. The trail went straight up the face. Richard surveyed the terrain. It would be easier to go around rather than climb over the jut of rock, but he finally decided against it, the thought that the boundary could be anywhere making up his mind. There must be a reason the trail went this way. He went first and took Kaylin's hand, helping to pull her up. As he walked, Richard's thoughts continued nagging at him. Someone had hidden one of the boxes, or Rawl would have it already. If Rawl couldn't find it, how was Richard to? He didn't know anyone in the Midlands. He didn't know where to look. But someone knew where the last box was, and that was how they had to find it. They couldn't look for the box. They had to look for someone who would be able to tell them where it was. Magic, he thought suddenly. The Midlands was a land of magic. Maybe someone with magic could tell where the box was. They had to look for someone with the right kind of magic. Addie could tell things about him without ever having seen him before. There had to be someone with the kind of magic that could tell him where the box was without ever having seen it. Then, of course, they had to convince that person to tell them. But maybe if someone was hiding their knowledge from Dark and Rawl, he would be glad to help stop him. It seemed there were too many wishes and hopes in his thoughts. But there was one thing he did know. Even if Rawl got all the boxes, without the book he wasn't going to know which box was which. As they walked along, Richard recited the Book of Counted Shadows to himself, trying to find a way to stop Rawl. Since it was an instruction book for the boxes, it should have a way to stop their use. But there was nothing like that in the book. The actual explanation of what each box would do, directives to determine which box was which, and how to open one, took up only a relatively small portion at the end of the book. Richard understood this part well, as it was clear and precise. Most of the book, though, was taken up with directions for countering unforeseen eventualities, resolving problems that could prevent the holder of the boxes from succeeding. The book even started out with how to verify the truth of the instructions. If he could create one of these problems, he could stop Rawl, since Rawl didn't have the book to help him. But most of the problems were things he had no way of bringing about. Problems with sun angles and clouds on the day of opening. And a lot of it made no sense to him. It spoke of things he had never heard of. Richard told himself to stop thinking of the problem and to think of the solution. He would go through the book again, cleared his mind, and started at the beginning. Verification of the truth of the words of the Book of Counted Shadows, if spoken by another, rather than read by the one who commands the boxes, can only be ensured by the use of a confessor. By late afternoon, Richard and Kalin were sweating freely with the effort of the hike. As they crossed a small stream, Kalin stopped and dipped a cloth in the water and used it to wipe her face. Richard thought it was a good idea. When they came to the next stream, he stopped to do the same. Clear water was shallow as it ran over a bed of round stones. He balanced on a flat rock as he squatted to soak a cloth in the cold water. When he stood up, Richard saw the shadow thing. He froze instantly. Off through the woods, there was something standing partly behind a tree trunk. It wasn't a person, but was about that size, with no definite shape. It looked like a person's shadow standing up in the air. The shadow thing didn't move. Richard blinked and squinted his eyes, trying to tell if he was really seeing what he thought he was seeing. Maybe it was just a trick of the dim afternoon light, a shadow of a tree he mistook for something more. Kalin had continued to walk along the trail. Richard came quickly up behind her and put his hand on the small of her back, below her pack, so she wouldn't stop. He leaned over her shoulder and whispered in her ear, "Look to the left, off through the trees. Tell me what you see." He kept his hand on her back, kept her walking along as she turned her head, looking off to the trees. Her eyes searched as she held her hair back, out of the way. Then she saw the thing. "What is it?" she whispered, looking back to his face. He was a little surprised. "I don't know. I thought maybe you could tell me." She shook her head. The shadow remained motionless. Maybe it was nothing, a trick of the light, he tried to tell himself. He knew that wasn't true. "Maybe it's one of the beasts Addy told us about, and it can't see us," he offered. She gave him a sidelong glance. Beasts have bones. Kalin was right, of course, but he had been hoping she would have agreed with the idea. As they moved quickly down the trail, the shadow thing stayed where it was, and they were soon out of sight of it. Richard breathed easier. It appeared that the bone necklace Kalin wore, and his tooth, had hidden them. They ate a supper of bread, carrots, and smoked meat as they walked. Neither enjoyed the meal. Their eyes searched off into the deep woods as they ate. Even though it hadn't rained all day, everything was still wet, and occasionally water dripped from the trees. The rock was slick with slime in places, needing care to be crossed safely. Both watched the surrounding forest for any sign of danger. They saw nothing. The fact that they saw nothing began to worry Richard. There were no squirrels, no chipmunks, no birds, no animals of any kind. It was too quiet. Daylight was slipping away. Soon they would be at the Narrows. He worried about that, too. The idea of seeing the things from the boundary again was frightening. The idea of seeing his father again was terrifying. His insides cringed at what Addy had told them, that those in the boundary would call to them. He remembered how seductive their calls were. He had to be prepared to resist. He had to harden himself against it. Kalin had almost been pulled back into the underworld when they were in the Wayward Pine the first night he knew her. When they were with Zed and Chase, something had tried to pull her in again. He was troubled that the bone might not protect her when they were that close. The trail leveled out and widened, allowing them to walk side by side again. He was tired from the day's hike, and it would be another night and day before they could rest. Crossing the Narrows in the dark and when they were exhausted sounded like a bad idea, but Addy had been insistent they not stop. He could not question a person who knew the pass as well as she. He knew the story of the Gripper would keep him wide awake. Kalin looked around at the woods, turned to check behind. She stopped suddenly, grabbing his arm. In the trail, not 10 yards behind, stood a shadow. Like the other, this one did not move. He could see through it, see the woods behind, as if it were made of smoke. Kalin kept a firm grip on his arm as both of them walked ahead in a sideways fashion, watching the shadow thing. They rounded a turn in the trail and were away from it. They walked on faster.
Kalin, do you remember when you told me of the shadow people that Pani Sral sent for?